Magandang umaga po sa inyo lahat. It's a privilege for me to speak before you about the Lord Jesus Christ. I was given a topic which is very broad, and I hope the Lord is going to bless this message for us. And I would like to read from Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 1 up to 17. Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised, abhorred by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also called, the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I made mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at the length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruits among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And verse 16 will be our text this morning. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Thus far we read the Holy Word of God. Beloved, today you are going to learn about what is a gospel. Gospel is being revealed only to the people of God, for they are the inheritance of God from eternity. As a reformed believers, we know that the Lord had planned from eternity that his people will be saved according to the scripture, according to his plan, according to his divine counsel. When we say, what is the gospel? I remember a verse in the scripture, and that is in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, where God said to Isaiah, "Who had believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" I believe that it is revealed to his people. I believe that he revealed it to me and to you. It is the command of the Lord to go and preach the gospel. Although we know that gospel, when we say, what is the gospel? It is a broad, and it is not enough for us to learn about the gospel in 45 minutes, because I was given only 45 minutes. But then, we are going to consider three things. And that is based on the text that we have, Romans 1, verse 16. One is the powerful confession. Second, not to be ashamed. And third, it is the power of God unto salvation. First, the power of confession. What is the meaning of gospel? Gospel means good news. It is the central message about the Lord Jesus Christ, for Christ is the power of the gospel. It is the eternal counsel of God given to his people. It is a message of good tidings of the kingdom of God for his people. It is soon to be set up, and subsequently of Jesus the Messiah, the founder of this kingdom. We read in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not. Behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all his people." Not to all men, but only to the elect, only to the people of God. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: ye shall find the babe wrapped in a swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace and goodwill toward men." This is a proclamation of the coming Christ, as recorded in Luke. It is a proclamation of the grace of God to be given to his people. It's a manifestation of his grace and a pledge in Christ from eternity. From eternity, Peter learned about the Lord Jesus Christ, because Peter said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, about the eternal counsel of God. And he said, "Who verily was foreordained," meaning Christ from eternity was foreordained before the foundation of this world, but was manifested in this last time for you. Peter is speaking for the people of God, whom by him do believe in God, and raise him up from the dead, and gave him glory, and that your faith and hope might be in God. This is the power of confession of a man who experienced to deny the Lord 3 times. And now he said he is Christ, the Son of the living God. Let me give you what God revealed in Genesis. That after the fall of Adam and Eve, God revealed about the seed of the woman, who is Christ, the promise of the Lord from eternity for his people, the anointed Redeemer, the Savior of his people, and we call this as Protevangel. God said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman," speaking to Satan, "and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy heel, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The revelation of God about the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer of his people was revealed in the time of Abraham. It is a promise of surety, a promise of seed. And Genesis chapter 17, verse 7 says, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generation, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee." Now Abraham and his seed were the promise made, or promises made. He said not, "And to the seed as of many, but as of one, and that thy seed which is Christ." And that is in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. In every generation, God is revealing to his people about the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news that Jesus is the Savior, the Redeemer, the King, the Priest. And in the time of David, when he reigns over Israel, God revealed him a king and a kingdom through the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 11, we read, "And it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And I will not take my mercy away from him, as I took it from him that was before thee. But I will settle him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore." In Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, Jesus revealed himself. He revealed by means of the vision he used for John the Baptist, or John the Beloved, I mean. And he said, "I, Jesus, sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star." In the new dispensation, God revealed his birth, the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the power of the gospel, and through him, all those who were given to him are being saved and saved forever. That is the reason why the Lord revealed it to Joseph when the fullness of time came. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, we read, "But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin." Jesus means Jehovah saves, Jehovah salvation, Jehovah who is I am. It was revealed by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the eternal Lord and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel also means a message of suffering and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered and died as a propitiatory, meaning in his sacrifice as a lamb. He covered our sin. Covering means to blot out all the sins that we have, to blot them out, to destroy them, to soak them like a paper towel absorbed in water. That's why Jesus atoned for us. It is the full and complete satisfaction of all the justice of God concerning our sin. The purpose of the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ is a willful love for us and an obedience to God. Because sin, the meaning of sin, is a rebellion and disobedience. That's why we are all sinners. But then, the joy is that we have a Savior who atoned for us. There is only one sacrifice with which the Lord, our God, is pleased and satisfied. I have been meditating Isaiah chapter 53. And this was given to him by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to Isaiah. And in verse 3, it says, "He is despised." This is describing the suffering and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. "And rejected of men, a man of sorrow, and acquainted with grief, and we hide as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteem him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We are like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, for he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. The transgression of my people was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he has done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. And I want you to see verse 10. Yet it pleased God to bruise him. God was pleased in the work and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ is the only satisfaction that can please our God who is in heaven. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many? Because of his death, many, his people, will be justified, because their sins were forgiven. For he had bare their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressor, and he bare the sins of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. Beloved, Christ, in all his life, he suffered on earth because of his people. As in a human nature, Christ lived in poverty, in hunger, in temptation, persecution, rejection, crucifixion, and death. He suffered the wrath of God against sin. Though Christ is sinless, Jesus suffered as no man ever has or will suffer. Not that he suffered from special disease. He suffered all of God's wrath against sin. Not even the ungodly in hell can do this. And take note, for the wages of sin is death. So therefore, Jesus suffered the wrath of God for sin in one lifetime. Also, he died and resurrected once. Christ suffered the wrath of God all his life long when he was on earth. At the fall of man, the curse of God came upon earth and upon man's whole life in the form of sickness, death, pain, hard work, poverty, hunger, and so forth. So man is under the curse and the wrath of God throughout his entire earthly life. But then, Christ's suffering of God's wrath end on the cross. That is the reason why Jesus said, "It is finished." We are bought by his blood. He finished his work for our sake. Forgive us in our sin, and his life was given to his people. This is the reason why Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What is to be ashamed? It is a painful feeling or an emotion caused by the consciousness of guilt because of sin. It is a shortcoming. Sa Tagalog ay pagkukulang, pagkapabaya, failure to meet a certain standard or impropriety, kawalan ng kaangkupan, a failure to observe standard or show due honesty and modesty or behavior or character. It is used as a verb to bring shame or cause to feel shame. It is a confusion of face and being confounded. The scripture has something to say about the shamefulness of the wicked. This is the complaint of Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blast. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. And at the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, said the Lord. In our generation, many are committing abomination. And according to Romans chapter 1, there are those men who live to be male and change their lives to be female. They do not have any shame nor fear to God. They despise their own personality, their character, everything they despise because they are not ashamed with God. Even the women, they are not ashamed. They change their physical body to a male, and they are not ashamed. The murderer, they are not ashamed. The tips and everything that we have been reading in daily newspapers and watching the television, many are wicked and they are not ashamed. This is the complaint of Jeremiah. But for the people of God, the Lord is teaching us not to be ashamed. In Luke chapter 9, verse 26, the Lord said, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come to his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Paul, in his preaching, he mentioned about the subject not to be ashamed. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 14, if any man obey not my word or our word by this epistle, not that man, tandaan nyo ang taong yun, have no company with him, huwag kayong makisama doon sa mga wicked, that he may be ashamed. David wrote in Psalms 31, verse 1, he said, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust, let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thy ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. In thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Paul wrote to the Romans. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, and hope maketh not ashamed. Yung pag-asa. Our hope is in Christ, who is the power of the gospel. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Remember, beloved, we are not alone. We are not orphans. The Lord gave us the Holy Spirit to be our guide, our teacher, to be our companion. He is in us and dwelling in us. Peter also said in 1 Peter 4:16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this behalf. Third, based on our text, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is the power. The word power means dunamis in Greek. When we study dunamis, it is like dynamite, a powerful substance that can blow up any building, anything. It's dunamis. It's like missile. It's like an atomic bomb. Christ is the power of God unto salvation, for Christ is the power of God. The word gospel, good news, or glad tidings, that whosoever believe is set free from bondage of sin. He is regenerated, born again, and the Spirit sanctified in Christ. His sin, the original sin and the actual sin, are forgiven, and they are washed by the blood of the Lord. He is now born into the kingdom of God and of Christ. Nicodemus, by night, he came to Jesus, and he asked many things, and he said, Teacher, Rabbi. And the Lord mentioned to him about being born again. In John chapter 3, verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Christ is probably revealing it to Nicodemus about the written word in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. And it says, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart. Circumcision means to cleanse. God has the power to cleanse our sin from our hearts, because Christ is the power of the gospel. And thy heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. When Christ, the power of the gospel, works in the lives of his people, their hearts will be changed, will be circumcised, and their way of life will be converted. Because in Ezekiel chapter 20, says that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, this is the idea of a new born again Christian. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of the flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, as it is promised by the Lord Jesus Christ, not to be orphaned, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgment and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will also save you from all your uncleanliness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Second, the gospel is the power of a new life in Christ. Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. A new life in Christ, a new heart in Christ, for God, in the power of the gospel, to Christ Jesus, the people of God were circumcised, changed their heart, and God put his Holy Spirit to be with his people in from now on up to eternity. Christ said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of the Father which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Third, the gospel is the true treasure of the church. Ito ang kayamanan ng iglesia, ang ebanghelyo, o kaya nga't hindi natin dapat ikahiya. For it is the power of God unto salvation. The excellency of the gospel lies in this, that it reveals to us the salvation of believers. As the end, it is the power of God unto salvation. Paul, in his powerful confession, said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. How meek and contemptible soever it may appear to a carnal eye. For the power of God works by its salvation to all that believe. It shows us that the way of salvation. When Paul was preaching in a certain place, in Acts chapter 16, verse 17, the scripture says, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us unto us the way of salvation. It is through the power of God. Without that power of the gospel is but a dead letter. The revelation of the gospel is a revelation of the arm of God, as power went along with the word of Christ to heal the diseases. That's why Isaiah said, what believe our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It is to his people. God, through Christ, revealed his arm for us. Christ said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 12, how think ye, if any man have an 100 sheep, and one of them gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more than that sheep, than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. God, or rather Christ, made the illustration. When he finds a sheep that is lost, he carries it in his arm with love, with joy, with gladness. That is us, beloved. The arm of the Lord is revealed to us through the power of the gospel. The gospel is the treasure of the church. Ang ebanghelyo ay kayamanan ng iglesia. Ito rin ay primary task of the church and the minister. When Christ was resurrected, the first thing that is in the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ, when Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, Jesus said to her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, your Father, and to my God, your God. That is the reason why we should not be ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. This is the reason why Christ left a message to the disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verse 9, which is so familiar with us. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Next, the gospel is the treasure and the task of the parents. Sa pamilya, ang ebanghelyo ay kayamanan at tungkulin ng mga magulang na pagyamanin ang ebanghelyo. Ito ang revelation ng Panginoon kay Abraham. Abraham was 99 years old, and yet the Lord appeared to him and he said in Genesis chapter 7, verse 7, or 17 rather, verse 7, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for all everlasting possession. And I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations." In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, this is the instruction of the word of God to all the parents, especially the father. And it says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest in thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou riseth up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as a frontlet between thy eyes. And thou shalt write upon them the post of thy house and thy gates." In our reform teaching, in our belief, this is the reason why we have children catechism. It is the treasure of the church, the parents, that our children will be raised up in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have youth catechism. And the church, because the gospel is the treasure and the task of the church, all year round we have to study Heidelberg Catechism, the Belgic Confession, the Canon of Dort, because by means of grace, preaching is the growth of every believer. Christ speaks to us. In John chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they shall follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Peter, in his last epistle, said, "But grow in grace." Remember, grace was given to us by God. And we have to grow in grace through the Lord Jesus Christ and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. That is the powerful message of Peter related to our text in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. Paul from Rome wrote to the Philippians. In Philippians 1:20, he says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. When Paul was preaching throughout the region of Asia Minor, he said about the trouble that he experienced in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet distressed. We are perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body, for which we live, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, work or death worketh in us, but life in you. Paul said to the believer in 2 Timothy 2:8, he says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffered troubles, as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, he said, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that ye might also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Amen. Lord, thank you for your message. We bless you, we just magnify you, and we thank you that you will work in our lives to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oops.